would definitely recommend switching to a style of underwear with no fly.
No fly zone? Is that
That's
what you're
exactly
telling me?
No fly zone. That's a popular brand.
I'm not wearing that underwear. Okay?
You got to do it, man. You got long balls, Larry. Long balls. You got long ass balls.
I've got long balls?
Doctor, you seen his balls, right?
Would you say my balls were unusually long?
They're a bit more distended than the average testicles.
You got long ass balls, Larry. Long ball Larry. That's your new name.
I've got long balls. What the hell now?
Long balls. Change the draws.
Okay, fine.
Okay, and are you ready for the show?
Yay, we're ready, Lucy. Please start.
And so I started.
This is Pete Holmes. I'm a comedian. I'm with my boy, Will. You're listening to the Homemade Broadcast, because you're smart.
Personnel, this is CVTS. Base vehicle pre-count operations will start on my mark at 5, 4, 3, 2, 1...
Homemade Broadcast, HMB Radio on RadioSaintPete.com. Good day, how are you? I hope you're well. I'm fine. My name is Will Koontz, host of this here program, heard 6:15 Sunday evenings on Radio St. Pete, 10:15 Mondays replays. This podcast is brought to you by Sly Bar. Check out Sly Bar, 2061 Central Avenue. Slybar.com. Check them out. The open mic is every second and fourth Tuesday. And you do comedy there. And we laugh and we have a good time. We got JB Smooth coming and calling in anyway shortly. I like being able to do the call-ins. It's really great and all. But there's like a little bit of a delay. And it's hard to have a conversation. So we'll see how that goes. Hopefully it's not a disaster. We will see. But I want to get right to it today. We got John Jacobs in here. We got James Bailey in here. Let's talk to them. All right, we got John Jacobs is here.
Hey.
Sitting down next to me, and James Bailey from my mom's favorite podcast, which if you have not heard it, is available exclusively on HMBRadio.com.
But it's not your mom's favorite podcast. It's his.
It probably actually is.
It's probably everybody's mom's
as well. Yeah. I mean, how could they not love
Because moms,
James Bailey?
They just go to Google and they type in favorite podcast.
I'm gonna tempt fate and turn James Bailey's mic on.
Here we go. Uh-oh.
James has a bad habit of not being able to control his
horrible
potty mouth.
Horrible habit.
How bad do you want to curse right now?
So bad. Just for saying that, I want to curse, but I'm trying to be good. So this is. I just wanted to mention that yes, my mom's favorite podcast is everybody's mom's favorite podcast because moms love me.
Okay.
I'm focusing right now on my
good
words.
Man. Yeah.
Thank you. Because it almost came out right there. Moms. Love me. My mom's favorite podcast, Jeez. HMB Radio. And now I'm going to back out. Will, turn the mic off in case
you
I actually
almost
curse.
Cursed off that. You said mom, and that made you want to curse. Oh, jeez.
I just turned his mic off.
Oh, thanks. Survived.
Unscathed, man.
Ladies and
wow.
gentlemen, live TV.
James Bailey went one
oh,
minute
boy.
Without
yeah,
cursing.
It was a good dismount. Did like a backflip in the Olympics. Nailed it.
That's pretty
it.
Good. That's pretty good. So, John, you What's are up? Probably... The between you and Mike Morris, I think you've been the most frequent guest here.
Wow.
Of the HMB Radio family.
This is the third time, maybe?
Third time.
Third time's the
And then,
Charmin.
Well, no, actually, I think, oh, yeah, you did. You came in with Cam that one time.
Yeah, I did. I came in with Cam. And
at the old one, at
do
my
you
old
count
place.
The one time that was at Sly Bar in the back where you record some of those mini things?
No,
okay,
I don't
yeah.
count
that.
That
was just shout-outs.
That was just a live feed.
Right.
Or not a live feed, a live, what do you call those? Come on.
I don't know, man.
Live jump-in.
Jump-in
thing.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
I'm jumping in, y'all,
Which,
from Sly Bar.
I've been forgetting to do that, by the way.
Okay.
I usually always
Yeah, jump in,
pretty
man.
Good with that. But
don't worry about it. Water's nice.
So, John, what have you been up to since the last time I saw you? Last time
when
you
was
were
the last time I saw you? With Cam?
Cam.
Oh, jeez. That was a long time ago.
What was that, like 6 weeks ago, maybe?
It's probably like a,
it was probably longer,
a few months, yeah. But I've started two weekly open mics. It's like pro showcases, just good work in comics, people I trust, friends. And, yeah, both in Ybor, Monday, James Joyce, 9 to 11, Wednesday, Liquid, 6 to 8. And, yeah, the Wednesday one, too, is early, so comics can jump up at the improv after that, so.
6 to 8. I'm surprised that works that early.
How do
people? Well, I guess comics don't really have a regular job.
Yeah, we don't do anything real at all. It's like a bunch of toll booth operators who get on a scooter and they come up.
All right, let's. James has something he wants to add.
Something good.
As long as it's not the F word, is it?
No. I'm gonna be really good. But that just reminded me.
Okay.
When you said toll booth,
yeah.
Because I had to drive to Ocala today, so I went through like 3 tolls.
Oh boy.
If I had an identical twin, I would get both of us jobs in toll booths.
Okay.
But like miles apart.
Oh, that's a good idea.
But the same shift. So yeah, if somebody comes through, because it, like I swear the old guys that did it, like they were in 2 of the booths today, looked so much alike that it messed with me for a second.
Oh, that's good.
Where I was like, wait a minute, wasn't that guy didn't I just see him? Dude, what's going on? Like, just kind of was like, wait a minute. Granted, I was on my medication.
And you and your brother, you text or call each other because you make small talk at the first one.
Yeah.
And they tell you something. You can just relay to them, like, all right, he's got a daughter. She's going to school. All right, see you. How did you know?
Yeah, try to find out his name.
Yeah.
Good to see you again, Jack.
That's where you get the real money. When they come to the second stop, you convince them you're God, and you're teleported.
That's right.
And you say, if you want to get into heaven, give me $500.
I got these magic beans
for
purchase.
Or if you have a triplet, he's on the third one.
Triplet.
And he goes, look, unless you want to stay in this loop forever, you're going to give me $1,000.
No, here's what the triplet does. First two guys toll booth. Second guy, he gets the $500. They're going crazy after that. They can't believe it. They're driving away. Third triplet comes up. It's a cop. He pulls him over. He goes, yeah, I'm still here. It's still me, God. I actually want $20,000. And now they do it because they just can't even believe it at this point.
Oh, that would be fantastic.
As if they believe
this fantasy is.
I really like it.
Better than
we should all get surgery.
Some I would say.
If you're,
oh boy!
If your twins or triplets out there, listen to this. We've given you the ammo. Now go fire the gun.
All you twins and triplets out there.
It's only better than
God.
It's only better than a threesome though if it was two dudes and a chick.
Yeah, right.
That's the only way.
That's the only way.
Devil's threesome.
Oh, is that the devil's threesome?
Yeah.
What's two girls? God's threesome.
I don't know.
Just I think that's just called a threesome.
Yeah, that's the devil's
special.
Two horns, one tail.
Okay, right. Yeah,
makes sense.
Guys, like that. Guys are the devil.
So you got two open mics cooking now.
Two James open Joyce. Mics cooking. It's second one just happened.
That's
last
Wednesdays.
Night.
Every
James
week
Joyce is Monday.
Monday.
Liquid's Wednesday. Every week.
Wednesday.
Yep.
Weekly.
Weekly, baby.
You know, I was thinking about it outside. This is actually a good con. Not a con, but a good hustle you got going. Because if you get 5 of these going a week, you could probably make just as much money as
that's the goal.
Working a part-time job somewhere.
That's the 100% goal.
That's what you were thinking going into it. 100%. I didn't even think about it.
Oh, yeah. You think I just, like, stand up?
Yeah, that's what I thought. Initially, that's what was on my mind.
That's what the first years are for.
Yeah, you're an old Wiley vet.
I'm an old, dirty. You read the article. His fame
has faded.
I didn't read it.
I know. I saw it, but I didn't read it.
Good.
It was pretty neat. That was in the TBO this week. Yeah. It was in print too.
It was in print.
Wow.
Yeah, I was walking around last night trying to get people in James Joyce walking around with the article. Like, look, it says I'm famous. Come to the open mic. And it kind of worked. It works, man.
That's what you were
people
saying.
People are impressed.
You just pull people off the street. Foot traffic's. You're not sending out invites or anything. You're actually pounding the pavement.
Yeah, it's pretty much just social media and then word of mouth and some email blasting here and there. But, yeah, man, because in New York, good shows like that, it's just comics in the streets with binders selling you on what's going on. And, you know, it makes it a good crowd, too, when people are coming in, you know, knowing this is a comedy show.
Yeah.
As opposed to every other open mic where it's like, oh, there's something in here right now.
Okay. What's happening?
Yeah, what is this? Boo.
I don't like it.
I just want to watch poker on TV.
It's a tough racket, though, because people hate comedy generally.
But it makes me feel better. It makes me stronger, I feel like. Being in the street, dragging people in, performing for them. I'm like, this is good. I feel like it gives me a little leg up. Being in the zone already.
Did you? Are you still doing the? I subscribe to your YouTube channel, which I subscribe everybody to do.
Yes.
Um, are you still doing the Man on the Street stuff? That's my favorite stuff.
I love Man on the Street stuff.
It's the best.
Dude, the thing is just getting a cameraman who's willing to walk around with me for a few hours.
What about just putting it on your phone? Doing it that way?
No way, man. You need some quality.
Even with the cameras, how good they are on cell phones?
I don't respect selfie videos at all.
Okay.
Because it means you're not serious about what you're doing.
Maybe you should get some friends.
Hey,
hard stance to take.
It is a very hard stance. Oh, I got friends.
Just make some friends.
But they don't want to work for free.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
That's part of the problem.
It's a hard spin to throw. Hey, you want to come out with me in the sun for a few hours and just film me saying dumb things to people?
Mention the exposure.
Come on, I'm famous, baby. I'll give you a credit. Filmed by JB Smoove.
You're doing. You'll be calling in here shortly. I'm excited for that phone call.
I'm so excited.
I don't know what the heck to ask him. Really?
Yeah. What are we gonna ask him?
I have no idea.
First off, you gotta ask him about Larry David. Say something about
Right. I feel like that's a question.
I'm sure he likes it a lot. But do a different take on it. Be like, yo, like what's Larry's like favorite food or something?
How big is Larry's penis?
Yeah.
Have you seen it?
Well, what's it like? We're on live radio. You can't say that.
You could say penis.
Really?
Yeah.
Can you say that?
No, don't say it. Because
I was
going to
say penis, but it starts with
no,
a C. Bailey,
no, James, he's pursing his lips like he's going to say something. Don't you dare.
It's okay.
It's because penis is the medical term,
purple-headed
right?
Yogurt slinger.
Oh, jeez.
I don't think you can say that, actually. I'm pretty
That's
sure you can.
That's disgusting.
Can't. Really? I don't know. You probably can, but it's just silly.
How do I explain like that to my kids? That's terrible.
So how did
Wait,
you get
you
a...
kids?
Somewhere.
How did you get approached to do the TBO thing?
I knew the writer already.
Oh, that helps.
He booked a room on Harbor Island years ago. And he does movies, great guy. But he was going to originally write a story when I first got on MTV and then, like, just never got around to it.
Never materialized.
So, like, he kind of always owed me a story.
Yeah.
So now that I'm back here, he's like, hey, we can finally do that story I was going to do on you.
Perfect.
And now it's even, now it's more rich.
Yeah.
It's more details.
I might have a gig with... writing for Creative Loafing.
Okay.
Possibly.
I probably shouldn't even mention anything.
No, it's the online editor, Scott.
Okay.
I know.
But you don't know Michael at all, the comic?
No, I know Michael.
Okay, yeah.
First time, I kind of thought Michael was a dick a little bit, but I think he kind of is, though.
Yeah, he is kind of.
But Law introduced me to him when Law did the podcast.
Okay.
And Law was like, you should talk to this guy. He'd be a great one to talk to.
Right.
And I was like, yeah, let's totally do that. He was just like,
yeah, Michael's interesting.
Yeah,
he gets
right.
So mad if you call him Mike.
Michael.
Oh, maybe that's Mike? What I did. Maybe
Mikey,
I called him Mike.
Mikey Mario.
He goes by Michael.
Yeah, he's very. I don't get it. That's his Twitter name too.
Michael,
not Michael.
That's right. Somebody. But he never came in, and I brought it up to him. I think a couple months ago, and he was like, "I'm busy right now.
Okay.
Can't do that." So
he probably said, "Hey, Mike."
I might have. I do that, but it's I used to do this girl. I used to call her. Megan, she used to go went by Meg.
Okay.
And every time I saw her, I would call her Megan, and her name was actually Margaret.
Oh, jeez.
So it wasn't even Megan.
So she hate you for life now?
Yeah.
Well, you deserve it.
I guess so. But I mean, in my defense,
well, what if
Meg is short for Megan.
Yeah, Meg's cooler.
Marge is short for Margaret.
Yeah, Marge sucks.
Madge, maybe you could get away
good.
With.
Ooh.
I don't know.
Madge is money.
Yeah, I knew you'd like that. Madge. But, yeah, what about you? Do you go by Bill?
I don't care.
You don't care?
I think
Billy boy.
In school, it's my name's William. So in school, we got abbreviated to Will. And then at home, my mom always called me Bill.
Do they call you the coon dog?
I'm sure I got called that amongst
coon
other things
rawr, rawr, rawr.
Along the way.
Coots dog?
Yeah,
and
probably.
Then probably another one, which I can't.
Many.
Say. Oh,
yeah,
many.
Yeah,
there
of that? Was there was a lot.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun for
Make,
me.
Made you the man
up.
You are today.
I like this podcast and radio persona you have going on because you're not as aggressive on the microphone in normal conversation.
Well, if people are wasting time listening to something, it might as well be good.
You can't be boring. It's
no,
just not in your nature to be boring.
It's
I appreciate
terrible.
It.
Thank you. I'm a showman.
You've
can't
never
even see.
Slept
I'm doing
with
a
them.
Handstand right now.
So what are you? You got these two mics, and I hear you're planning on doing five.
Doing five to
or
seven.
Seven. Do yep. one every day.
Every day.
Sunday would be good.
Yeah, I'm in talks with a place right now downtown Tampa about a Sunday, and I'm really excited about it. I think they're right there.
What about Sunday afternoon? What do you think about that?
They were thinking Sunday midnight to 2.
Ooh.
Which would be awesome. Ooh. I love it.
That is late.
Yeah, that's late.
Sundays and Mondays are tough because usually those are the days that people are...
Yeah, people want to rest.
Although, I've been out on a Sunday night, so yeah, Mondays are probably the hardest right. ones, you know?
Yeah, but it's been cool so far, JJ. But yeah, man, people have these huge dreams of this and that. I'd like to, do everything I possibly can, but at the same time, if I can just run 7 local shows, I couldn't be happier, you know what I mean? I don't want to drive far.
Yeah.
I like living in Florida. Everything's awesome, man, so... If I can just make my own, comedy world down here, even better.
Well, it's important. The scene is picked up in the past few years, I would say.
Yeah.
Do you think
comics,
so, too?
I mean, there's a lot of new comics that have stuck around at least for a couple of years now. A lot of people are constantly getting up in mics who you never see again.
Yeah.
Or like, I'm going to be here every day for the rest of my life, never hear from them again.
Yeah, there's always one person new, at least, that comes to Sly Bar, and they never come back again.
Exactly. So, there's a lot of people who fall to the wayside.
There was a guy who showed up at the last one, or the one before the last one, and he's like, I've been seeing it in the Yelp, and it's been calling my name. And I'm like, well, good.
It's
I'm happy,
calling,
to,
you know, yeah.
happy to have you. And he was dressed like a normal man. He just had pants on and a button-down shirt.
Right.
And then when it came time for him to show up, he had these really tiny short jogger shorts, a Viking helmet.
Oh, I love it.
And a big tie.
Oh, funny.
And I just was like, oh, no, here we go.
Did he win?
No. No, he bombed. And then he pulled down his pants.
Oh, he did?
Yes, he did.
Oh, that's hilarious.
It was pretty funny, I got to say. He definitely got a reaction.
What a good guy.
But he has not been back. Yeah, James was upset. Like,
you didn't like that?
I was outside. I looked in, saw him standing on like a bench or something with the short shorts and the helmet. I didn't even hear a word. I literally looked up, saw what he was wearing, and just went, nope.
Nice.
And walked so far away I couldn't hear and sat in my car and meditated.
There you go.
He also had a raccoon tail. Too, when he pulled his pants down.
You just keep naming funnier things about
it was
why
pretty
this guy's
zany.
Great.
Yeah. But he has not been back. He has not been back since.
Yeah. I like last time I was at Improv Open Mic, there was a dude there who had never done stand-up before. It was his first night. And he was just talking to me about comedy and stuff. Like, he knew stuff, which is great to hear and is so entertaining. Like, yeah, man, the industry and stuff, like, you gotta be out there and, like, you gotta have something and, like, talent. And it's like, he's talking like he's been doing it forever. He's never been on stage once.
The industry?
Yeah, and I'm like, oh, yeah, dude, okay, cool. Yeah, I can't wait to see you perform. Let's do it. And I'm sure he was just trash.
Oh, you didn't watch him?
I don't even know if he got up.
Oh, okay.
I think it might have just been less too full or something like that.
I went, and the first time I saw you was at the Improv, and I went, and this is when I first started the mic, and smuggled in flyers, and was just handing flyers to people as they got off. Is that illegal? Is that against the rules?
I mean, they don't like it. It's not illegal.
Frowned upon.
Yeah, they don't like that. I mean, you're going into a business that's comedy, and you're trying to tell them to go somewhere else to see comedy.
Yeah, but it was a different night.
That doesn't matter.
Well, across the bay.
Yeah, maybe.
I could see the gray area. There,
yeah,
though.
A little bit of a gray area. So.
All right, sorry, man. We got to cut you off. We got JB Smooth is on the line. JB Smooth, welcome to the Homemade Broadcast, man.
What's up, brother? I'm doing good.
I'm a little...
How's the weather out there?
It's hot already here, man. I can't believe it. It's about 80 degrees. I would probably hit 85 today.
Sweet. By the time I get this, it'll be about 95. I'm bringing the heat, baby.
I hope not. It's too soon, man. I'm a heavy guy. I sweat standing up, so I'm already having a tough time. I went to a concert last night, and I'm 31 years old, and I can't drink on a Wednesday anymore. It was a bad mistake, so I woke up with a little bit of hangover today, and then also I had to ravage my closet to try to find a green shirt since it's St. Patrick's Day. I don't have any green shirts.
You have no green shirts? What?
I know. I don't know why.
You have at least one green shirt.
I did find one in the back of my closet.
You found one, see?
So, JB...
You have to be prepared for every holiday. You should be prepared for every holiday. You should always have a Christmas sweater laying around.
Right.
Always. Always have that kind of stuff, man. Always have a St. Patty's Day shirt.
Well,
you always have all the essentials.
Yeah, I found one, luckily. But, JB, you're going to be here Saturday, March 26th at the Mahaffey Theater. You can purchase tickets at themahaffey.com. Have you ever been to Tampa Bay?
I've been to Tampa before, man. I love Tampa, man. It's a great city. Yeah, I've been to Tampa a few times, man. I mean, I haven't been recently. I'm looking forward to seeing what's happening with the city, what's going on. I haven't been there in a while. I'm looking forward to a little tour, maybe.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's an interesting place to be. I like it, but I think that's because I live here, and I haven't been anywhere else. So I don't really know what to compare it to.
You got
to
get out and about, brother. You got to get out and about.
I got to make some money first, man.
Make some money. Get out and about. See the world, man. I'm telling you.
What is your advice?
What's so beautiful there?
What is your advice for a young man like me who's 31? You're supposed to be broke at 31, I think. But what is your advice for somebody, for me, to get out there and make some money?
No, you should not be broke at 31. We got to you gotta catch up, brother. You got to catch up.
What do I got to do?
31 years old, you should have something in your brain that's going to kick in. It's going to kick in sooner or later. You know, but a lot of times a lady will end up – you got a lady?
Kind of. I don't know.
Kind of? Okay. Here's what's going to happen. Even if you're not – so you got a lady. She's a lady. Now, she's got to kick it in for you. Most times ladies get guys going. You know what I'm saying? She'll have interest. She's going to pull you into her world. You got to be comfortable with her, you know, sexually, relationship-wise. Buddy, everything got to work for you to progress at 31 years old. It's time to change gears. Ladies normally change gears for guys. Okay? So she got to kick in. You got to kick in. If you plan on being together, it's going to kick in eventually and you'll have success. But you need a backbone. Your backbone ain't kicking you in yet. She's too relaxed. She got to shake it up a little bit. She got to put some schedule on you. Of when things are supposed to happen, you know, certain things are just on a schedule, you know what I mean? And she got to kick it in for you. Guys can't do it on their own sometimes, you know?
I think I've
But you'll get it together.
I think I've been listening to too much old Patrice O'Neal clips on Opie and Anthony. I'm just so disheartened with women.
Yeah, man. You got to find one that's going to help you. You know what I mean? If she can't help you, she got to go. I'm not saying get rid of her right now, but I'm saying...
If
she can't help you in your business and you guys aren't progressing together and she ain't helping you, if she's in the way, she got to go. That's it.
See, the advice I heard was at this age, like it's getting to the point where I got to settle down soon, I guess, you know, in the next few years. But right now you're supposed to have a spare and a pair is the old phrase that I've heard.
If you ain't got a spare and a pair, you are not ready to bring someone else into your jacked up world. You know what I mean? Don't. It's like a homeless guy with a dog. That dog would like him, but that dog would rather be in the house somewhere, warm, getting fed a nice meal every night. You know, cuddling up on someone's couch in front of the fireplace with a owner who has a house. He would rather that.
Yeah, totally.
I mean, people go through stuff, but don't drag everybody else with you. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I always felt that that was cruel when homeless people have dogs. That is very cruel of them.
Yeah, the dog is cold, too. You know what I mean? Find someone can take care of that dog until you get on your feet. You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying you shouldn't be with your companion. And your dog is, you know, your dog is your man's best friend, but damn. A friend can only go so far. You know what I'm saying? So at this age and time, it's time to kick it in. You know what I mean? You got to kick it in.
Well, I recently found this passion for radio, and unfortunately, radio does not pay very well, I'm finding.
But... right now, see, you use the word find. You found a place, a job. Now, is this job your passion? If it's not your passion, you're just there for a minute. If it's not your passion, you're wasting more time. You know what I'm saying? Put time into your passion. Don't put so much time into something you really don't want to do. If you don't want to do it, get out the damn way.
No, I
someone else to have that blessing.
I love doing
you love
this.
It?
This is fantastic.
If you love doing it, you gonna have to ride it out.
Yeah. Well, they say
you gotta
the money.
Ride it out. You
the
gotta money, ride it out then. Ride it out. Yeah.
The money will come. That's what I hear. I also
the
run a room. I run a stand up comedy open mic here down here in St. Pete. How long have you been doing comedy for?
Man, I've been doing comedy almost 30 years, brother. Almost 30 years I've been doing this.
How old are you?
So for me, man, I just turned 50, brother.
Holy moly!
50.
Did you really?
I just turned 50, December 16th.
I thought you were like 35.
I am 35. See what I mean? This is going to revert. Now we're going to revert back to what we just talked about a little while ago. I just turned 50. I look 35, right? My stress level is low. I'm having a good time. I'm enjoying myself. I got a great lady. I got a beautiful daughter. I got a great mama. I got all these great pieces. See what I mean?
Yeah.
These pieces don't go to work for me. These pieces can't do it, but they support what you're trying to do. You know what I'm saying? So when you support what you're trying to do, you will progress and things will start to work. That's what I'm trying to tell you, brother. You know,
yeah.
I want to give you all my tricks for the trade, but you got to start somewhere.
Yeah, it definitely makes sense. But it hasn't always been easy, though. I'm sure there's been some bumps in the road. I know you wrote at Saturday Night Live, and that wasn't a pleasant experience.
It wasn't. I can't say it wasn't a pleasant experience, but I can say that, you know, it was definitely a stepping stone, and it helps. Stepping stones are there to help you in your journey. You know what I mean? My journey, it just had to go through there. There's nothing wrong with SNL. I, you know what? I didn't get as much stuff on air as I wanted to, but hey, that builds character. It lets me know that everything is not going to be handed to you. I don't like things handed to me. I'm a worker.
Right.
My thing. I don't want you to give me nothing. You don't got to give me a damn thing. Either you like it, what I wrote, or you don't like it. That's it. There is no, I should have got this on. There is none of that for me. I don't complain. I just do what I got to do. If you love it, you love it. I want a genuine love for everything I do. I don't want half ass stuff.
Right.
That's
right.
Just me. You know what I mean? You work for what you got. Everything I got, I work for. I don't want no favors. You know what I mean? I give favors.
Yeah,
I don't ask for favors.
Totally, man.
That's my motto.
That's my motto. That's a positive attitude to have, man. That's what you got to do. You got to work hard, keep your nose to the grind wheel, or whatever that saying is. You got to work with Louis C.K. on Pootie Tang back in 2001, right?
Sarate, my man, Damien. Sarate. You know what I mean? But then I also worked on maybe five of Louis' projects.
Oh, really? You were in the show, too. You were in Louis' show.
Man, I've done so many things with Louis. You know, we always end up running into each other. Me and Louis worked together on so many cool things, you know. His first show, his first movie he ever did was called Tomorrow Night. I was in Tomorrow Night. He shot that in black and white, man. He shot that in the early 90s.
Yeah. I saw some of, didn't he release that recently on his website?
He released it. Yeah, he released it. You know what I mean? So these are, you know, I've been on maybe five of his projects. Then we ran into each other again on the Chris Rock show. Ran into each other again on Cedric the Entertainer Presents. So these are all, like, you know, you build relationships first, and then those relationships will get in contact with you later. You know, it's kind of like just building relationships, man, and your work comes from that. Be a product of your work. Like, right now, we know each other, right?
Yeah.
We're working together right now.
Best friends,
video.
As far as I'm concerned.
Later on, I might mess around and need you. You're a nice guy. I'm a nice guy. That's what happens later on. I give you a call 10 years from now. It don't matter if I call you tomorrow or 10 years from now. That's a damn relationship that we have built already. I trust you. I like you. You know, you're a great interviewer. I like what you're trying to do. You know what I mean? I'm helping you get rid of your lady and get you a new lady. You know what I'm saying? I'm doing things for you.
Oh, you're a good man, JB. I love you already.
I'm trying to help you. You know what I mean?
I appreciate it. I need all the help I can get, believe me.
But that's all it is. You know, all these building blocks, man, I'm going through, you know, of course it wasn't easy all the time. But I got lucky, you know. I had patience. Patience is something else. Now, patience is a whole other thing.
Sure.
Patience will help you get through anything. You know, that's one of the things you got to, as a young person, as a young guy like yourself, have patience in what you're trying to do and know what you're trying to do. Once you know what you're trying to do, can't nothing stop you from doing it. Stop yourself.
Yeah, and I kind of have that mentality now. Like, I don't really worry about anything. Like, I'm really focused. I work hard. And I know I don't want to have that moment when I'm on my deathbed or something, being like, man, and what if I would have done this, if I would have tried a little harder?
Don't want that, man. That's the last thing you want, is to blame yourself for something you didn't do. You know, you should never get to that point, brother. I promise you.
Yeah, and I won't. Know? I'm not going to do that. That's why I'm stoked. Sure. I was always kind of a late bloomer, I think, in general in life. So I didn't really come to this realization until my late 20s. I don't think you become a whole human being until you're about 26 years old. All the synapses in your brain finally form. Some people figure it out early, but those are unicorns, you know. But I finally figured it out, and I started working hard, and things started happening.
You're good, then. See, it don't matter when you do it. as long as you do it. You know, I was a late bloomer. I mean, I had several jobs. If you ever heard me on the Howard Stern show, you know I had several jobs.
Right.
Jobs, I had crazy jobs. So it don't matter. I've sold fire extinguishers door to door. I worked in a perfume factory. I worked in a warehouse. I worked in a mail order company. I've done everything, brother. I've driven a truck. I made deliveries. I've done like 10 different jobs in my life.
Yeah, but it builds character.
My passion, the word passion kicks in sometimes. My passion came through.
Right.
My passion started at 25 or 31. It doesn't matter. Your passion is your passion.
Yeah,
your passion should always be with you.
While you
packing boxes, while you cleaning toilets or packing boxes, your passion's still in the back of your head.
Oh, totally.
You know what I mean?
Totally.
It's on your mind the whole time. Your passion's on your mind.
Right.
You know, it doesn't matter. You're making donuts. It don't matter. You're making donuts. The passion's on your damn mind while you're making them damn donuts.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It don't matter.
You know what I notice about, and I don't want to sound like a cranky old young man at 31 years old, but the younger kids, mm-hmm. like the lady at... that I know, her grandson wants to be a musician. He's 18 years old. Does not work. He's just putting all his time into his music. And I told her, I was like, even Eminem, right? He worked in the GM factory. I don't know what it is about the younger kids, but it seems like they're very entitled now.
No, you got to work, man. You work to build character. You work to build your network of people. Hey, you go to work every day, and people like you as a regular person, guess what? They're going to come and see you perform. They're going to support you because, damn, he worked right next to me all these years. The guy's good. He can play a damn good guitar. You know what I mean? He's always humming music. All that stuff is building blocks, man. You got to get a regular damn job. Work.
Yeah.
You put everything into it. Yeah, you put everything into it, but that don't mean you got to stop providing and building and meeting people and doing different things. You know, no one's saying you have to stop everything else, but you should definitely have a regular job to support yourself.
Yeah, you know? I totally agree, but I don't know where the I seem to notice it a lot. I don't know what it is about. I feel like I said, I don't want to complain about the younger generation, and I'm one of those geriatric millennials. I'm right on that verge in the generation gap thing.
I'll complain for you. Don't worry about it. I'll complain for you.
Good. I need it. I feel like I'm getting good practice to be the grumpy old man. I'm getting really good at it already.
Man, these kids, man, you still have to, you know, it doesn't matter, you know, it's still your passion, man. Your passion's your passion. Passion don't go nowhere. But if you're sitting there being supported, if your passion being supported by your parents and you don't know how to handle your money, by the time your passion comes to life and you start making money, you ain't going to know what to do with it. You ain't going to know how to handle your money. You ain't going to worry. You ain't going to know how to deal with people. You ain't going to learn how to do nothing. You're going to sit there and people are going to hate you. They're going to hate you, and you're going to be a different kind of person because you're not used to being around people, working environment. You don't know how to handle money yet. You're going to get all that stuff at one time. That's when you crash. You crash when you get it all at one time. You know what I mean?
Right.
He may have success one day, but he's going to have to learn how to deal with people, his money, a lot of little things, little intangibles that you don't think about until after you get there. But his intangibles are going to be messed up.
Yeah, well, he better hope that he's successful because he has no – not that you should have a plan B. You don't have to have a plan B, but you have to not be a bum either.
Don't be a bum. Don't lean on people until you make it. Don't lean on people until you make it, because if you don't make it, you're going to try to blame the people because they didn't put enough into you. You know what I mean? You can't blame nobody else.
Yeah, you have to invest in yourself, man. You have to have some self-worth.
You better invest in yourself. You better build character. Always say that. Build character. Character is something else, brother. You build your character, you cannot go wrong.
That's right. It's a fact.
Build character, brother.
JB, you're on one of my favorite shows of all time, Curb Your Enthusiasm. How did you hook up with Larry David?
Oh, man, that was a long process right there. That's a long story, man. It's a great story, but it's a long story. You know, it's one of those things that, you know, I was a big fan of the show before I got on the show, and, you know, things just kind of, You know, that's that thing we talked about earlier, that little patience thing, you know, that patience thing kicks in where you get a chance to do something you always wanted to do and you love something you thought to the universe and somehow you end up, it ends up coming to light, but it ends up coming to light when you finally figure it out and it comes to light, you know, it comes to light in a way where you have prepared yourself all this time for something, right? So by the time they knock on the door, you're ready to answer that door. And you're ready to do it to the highest level. You're not coming in half-ass. You're coming in there like, wow, I've been waiting for this. I didn't push. I didn't burn any bridges. I didn't hurt anybody along the way. So when this opportunity came about, you were ready to go. You know what I mean? Me being a big Curb fan all the time, you know, my wife, who was my fiance at the time, actually told me I was going to be on Curb Enthusiasm. I was watching Curb Enthusiasm, and I said, I love this show. And my fiance at the time, who's now my wife, said, wow, this show is so funny. She said, you're going to be on that show one day. And I'm telling you, less about a month and a half, I was on that damn show.
Wow.
Which is crazy. It was crazy. But, see, here's what makes it work. I could have got that show and not been prepared for it, right? Mm-hmm. But I'm going to tell you what happened to me. When I first started doing stand-up, the first thing I ever did when I started doing stand-up was I took an improv class. I took an improv class because I wanted to figure out who I wanted to be on stage and who I wanted to be off stage. So I wanted to find out who that guy was going to be on stage so I can constantly work on that guy who's going to be getting on stages. So I took the improv class, put the improv class, did it for a summer, put that in my toolbox, you know. Years later, you're talking about the early 90s, I took an improv class. Curb came about, you know, 06, late 06. So late 06, I ended up getting on Curb Enthusiasm. You know, but I had been doing improv in my stand-up, improv on, you know, on little shows. They let me get loose a little bit. So I had already been working my improv chops, not knowing that I was going to be on Curb Enthusiasm, the best improv show ever. But I had no idea this was coming, but I ended up getting on the show and ended up using a tool that I had no idea I would use in that moment.
Right.
So it all ends up working out. You know, it's just building blocks, little things that I didn't even realize I would need. Like your buddy, the guy who wants to be a musician. I'm sure he's amazing, but if he can put all into it, but he can also get a job, support himself, build character, build his, you know, while he's doing that, you know, grow as a person also, not just as a robot or a person who just wants to play music and doesn't want to hear anything else, doesn't want to deal with anything else but the music. You know, you can still put 95% into your music, get a 5% job. You know what I mean? I'm not telling you to get a career job, but find something that you can manage, that you can have patience with, but it won't interfere with your dreams. You know, keep your dreams going. So Curb came about in a cool way. I ended up on, it was a blessing for me to get on Curb, but I was prepared for Curb also. By the time Curb came, I was ready for it.
Right.
You see, I was ready. I was already up and running. I was already doing improv. So by the time I got on the show, it was easy breezy.
So did Larry kind of just like find you or something? Like, and then was like, oh, I like this guy.
I just did an audition. I auditioned for the show. I came into L.A., on a whim, actually, a buddy of mine had passed away. So I came to L.A. because a buddy of mine had passed away. So they had a memorial service here. So I came in town for 2 days. And then I had just signed with a new agent. So I went to my new agent and said, hey, you know, I didn't get renewed at SNL for my fourth season at SNL. So I said, hey, man, you know, I'm going to get back in front of that camera. You know, I wrote as a writer on SNL for 3 years. So by the time I finished that, I had signed with a new agent, so I came to L.A., you know, because my buddy had passed away. And then I went into my agency and said, hey, man, you know, had a little meeting with them, and the agent comes in late, you know, and he says, hey, you want to go on an audition? And I said, what's it for? And he said, Curb Enthusiasm. So for me, I'm thinking like, wait a minute, my lady just told me I was going to be on Curb Enthusiasm. I took an improv class years ago. I know how to improv. You see what I'm saying? I'm in town only because I didn't get renewed at SNL, you know, and my buddy passed away.
Yeah.
So all these things had to happen in order, which in turn makes, which in turn sets me up in a perfect situation. So all I got to do is show up now.
Right.
All I got to do is show up and do what I do, you know. So it became patience. It became timing. It became, you know, doing the right things. You know, I could have easily stayed in stayed in New York and not came to L.A. You know, I could have done that. But I love my buddy so much, I came to L.A. to show my respects for him. Mm-hmm. You know, which in turn, he ended up looking out for me, even from heaven. You know what I mean? So it's like, wow. You know, and he was one of my good friends, and he was a big fan of what I do. So it's almost like between my lady, between my friend, I got put in a situation where I got a chance to shine and do what I do, but also do what I do with a skill set that I had already prepared myself for.
Right. Yeah, you can't discount fate right. and luck either, because they're big parts of it. I know so many talented people, you know, that are so good, but they're just missing that one little thing, that, you know, stroke of luck.
And but it comes. It's sometimes, but it's luck and preparation. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's luck and preparation that they collide in some way, and that is what ends up making you prepared for your whatever that is. You know, sometimes you don't know what it is until you get this.
Yeah. JB, I know you got to get out of here. Final question. I'm sure you get this one all the time. Are we going to get another season of Curb?
You know what? I love Larry, man. But I'm going to tell you, it don't look good. It don't look good. I don't want to put words in his mouth. I don't want to telegraph it. But I just can't. I just know the process. I know it takes. I know you got to write it. I know you got to shoot it. I know you got to get a schedule. I know you got to do so many. There's so many things that go into it. You know, people. You know, think it's just easy. You know, you're just going to say yes and it's going to come on TV. No, it takes a little while.
Right.
You got to shoot it. You got to schedule it. When it's going to come on. When it's, you know, it's like so many things to do. You know, that I know the process from being on the show, and I know it takes a little while. You know, you got to be happy with it. You got to edit it. You got to get it. You know, you got to get it on the show, on the HBO. It's like, you got to promote it, that it's coming back. I don't know. The first thing that has to happen is he has to say yes.
Which he will not do.
Then he has to see who's it. Which he will not do. He has to say yes, first of all. That's the first step in all this. Once he says yes, you can go from there.
Right.
But you got to say yes first.
Yeah, it's got to be hard. I mean, when you have that much money, too, I mean, he's an older fella now. I would just go enjoy your money at this point.
You know, he's doing some amazing things. I mean, he's been on SNL a few times. He's doing the Bernie Sanders thing.
Yeah.
You know, he's having a great time, you know. I mean, Larry ain't no young Jack. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's not a young Jack.
Right.
But Larry's amazing.
He certainly is. I love
and Larry. Larry can do what Larry do. You know? Larry is rich. He's filthy.
JB, I know you got to get out of here, man. Thank you so much for calling in. You will be in town on the 26th, March 26th, at the Palladium Theater, which I can hit from my house with a rock, by the way. I'm going to come see you. Let's hang out, get a beer after the show.
Well, you'll hear the laughter. If you don't come, you're going to hear the laughter from your house. I'm coming to bring the heat.
That's right, brother. All right, man. We'll see you next Saturday, then. Thanks for calling.
Be good, bro. I'll see you next Saturday. Okay. All right.
All right. There we go. JB Smooth. Catch him at the Palladium. I like how he avoided my let's get a beer question at the end. That's okay. I don't blame you, JB. I wouldn't hang out with me either, man. Appreciate the words of wisdom. What a good guy. Check him out on Twitter at @OhSnap, JB Smooth, SMOOVE. Thank you, James Bailey. Check out my mom's favorite podcast on hmbradio.com. You can follow him on Twitter at James Bailey. Ha ha. Thank you, John Jacobs, for coming in as well. Always a pleasure. One of the funniest guys that I've met in my entire life, that John Jacobs. Love him very much. Check out Mondays and Wednesdays, the James Joyce on Monday and Liquid, I believe he said, on Wednesdays. They're both in Ybor City. Look up the address if you want. Check out the his Twitter at Maybach Diamonds. You should just change it to John Jacobs, but John Jacobs is a common name, so you probably can't get that. Anyways, check out me on Twitter, home_made_man. And find me on Instagram, like the Facebook page, HMB Radio on Facebook. HMBRadio.com. Slybar every second and fourth Tuesday for the open mic. I will talk to you next week. Have a terrific, terrific week. Goodbye.